Holy mackerel, this freaking team. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. I am Joe McCann. Phil Bush is with us as well. And Phil, wow, can you believe we are talking about this team as Big East champions?
I'm generally going to have to go with the worldwide wrestling reference, and we need a little Ric Flair up in here. Woo! Did not see that coming. This team was probably the least likely of any in the last 10 years to pull off a conference championship. We shared it with 20% of the league, but who cares? Put the banner up.
The banner is going up. That is the most important thing. And when you consider what the overwhelming opinion, especially within the fan base, was of this team, as recently as, say, mid-January, really, the Green Bay loss, I think everyone kind of pinpoints as the low point of the season. But since then, since getting Todd Mayo back, and since so many other players have kind of stepped up their game to get to this point, to be at 14-4, which is good enough for first in the Big East. Yeah, even if people think Georgetown or Louisville may look better, they're ranked higher, whatever, doesn't matter. What the standings say is there are three teams tied for first. Marquette is one of them, and it's their first title in the Big East, and in the last season of the Big East as we know it. And I just think, really, this is just such a significant achievement for the program, really.
Well, and apparently the Mayan apocalypse was translated to Marquette will go on a tear and win a Big East title, because it's about as unexpected with this team. And I'm trying to put this conference championship in a historical perspective. I mean, obviously we won Conference USA in 2003, and I think prior to our era, we won another in the Metro.
It was Great
Conference.
Midwest in 1994.
Okay. That's right, Damon Key, 94. So we've won three conference titles, period. Now, granted, we were independent for a number of years, but
right, up until 1989-90 season, Marquette was always an independent. So for most of Marquette's history, it's been an independent, including the glory years under Al McGuire. So for most of Marquette's history, there was no conference title to be won. But the point remains, the fact that this is only the third conference title in the program's history is certainly something to be celebrated.
Maybe we've become so used to accomplishments here at Marquette in the last 10, 15 years, but this thing still, if you're not excited about this, there's really nothing to get excited about. And, I mean, a regular season Big East title has to mean more than a tournament Big East title, because the tournament Big East title, either the other teams have an off night or you just go on a really big, really hot streak and just get hot shooting for 3 days in New York City, and you can win the conference title in the tournament. But a regular season title means you have to be consistently good night in, night out, throughout the entire Big East schedule, which with the Big East is not something that's easily done.
Right. Before the season, Buzz Williams said this team needs to continue to up the ante. I think his exact words were, the Sweet 16 isn't good enough anymore. We've done that twice. Now we need to kind of raise the bar. And when he said that, even back, before what would have been the Ohio State game, my expectations certainly weren't that high for this team. And I was like, well, how is this team going to raise the bar again for this program? And it has. It has reached a new height in doing something I and probably even the most optimistic Marquette basketball fans didn't really think they could pull off. When you consider the kind of talent Marquette has had since it's joined the Big East, the James, McNeil, Matthews teams, Lazar Hayward shortly after that, Jimmy Butler, and then you had two NBA players last year in Jay Crowder and Darius Johnson-Odom. None of those teams walked away with a Big East championship, but this one did. And as you said, really in the last 10 years, probably the least likely Marquette team to bring home a conference title.
Well, and if you look at those teams, we've got six current NBA players or almost NBA players peppered throughout the last 10 years. This is arguably the only team in the last 10 years that doesn't have anyone that would be considered NBA talent at this point. I mean, you could maybe make an argument that Vander, after senior year, might be good, good enough if he continues to improve as he has.
Right. Yeah, there's nobody who would be taking the 2013 NBA draft. Right now.
I mean, I don't even think anyone would get extended a summer league contract. So, and I don't mean to belittle the talent, because I think there's a lot of good players on this team. But I think this is a prime example, and this you got to chalk up to coaching with Buzz Williams, is the sum, the individual parts don't add up to nearly what the sum of the parts do. And I, you know, as a team, they're just so much better than they are individually, and that all credit's got to go to Coach Williams on that, because this team's kind of, and given the fact that the team's changed complexion so many times, strategy, we're guard oriented, now we're all of a sudden we're inside out oriented, it's constantly changing, and we're adapting to the various schemes we run up against. I just don't know how to quantify it. I don't know how to really rationalize and make sense of what this team is.
All I know is what this team is a conference co-champion. That's all that matters. They were handed a trophy, which they will proudly display, I assume, at the Al McGuire Center somewhere, and they will hang a banner in the Bradley Center. And, you know, the shot that Vander hit to give this team the title has to go down as one of the great moments, really, in Marquette history. And I don't think I'm really overstating it by saying that. Granted, we tend to overrate things. I know when big things happen, people tend to say, oh, that's the best ever. Greatest game ever. Greatest thing I've ever seen. Best ever. But really, Vander's shot to give this team a share of the Big East title has to be way up there. I don't know. I don't really have a list of great Marquette moments off the top of my head. We could probably rattle off a few as we talk here. But Vander's shot is way up there.
Well, I was trying to think about it, where it would even fit within the grand scheme of shots, great shots we've seen in Marquette history. Certainly Novak's ND shot, and you've got Travis Diener's shot to beat Holy Cross. But it just the fact that it wins a conference championship, it comes in overtime in the basketball mecca that is MSG, and it was a thing of beauty. It was a perfect isolation play with a back screen, and Vander put it high up off the glass, and I guess the fact that it kind of rattled around and it had that instance of will it, won't it, will it, and it went in. I just think the drama, the only way for me personally it would have been more dramatic is if I had been there and actually, you know, gone flying across the seats as the shot went up and down.
There's some great fan video out there on YouTube of some Marquette fans in the student section reacting to that shot, and they justifiably went crazy when it went down.
I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, and again, maybe it's a reflection of how spoiled we've become if you're not emotional and super excited about it. But, you know, I don't know. And maybe it's the fact that ESPN didn't seem to know that we were playing for a conference championship. But it was the right guy taking the right shot. I mean, I don't think you could have drawn it up any better than you did.
Certainly, if we're ranking it among all-time shots or moments in Marquette history, few things are going to top Jerome Whitehead's shot in the 1977 NCAA semifinals. That was to beat UNC Charlotte and get Marquette into the national championship game. I think that one probably still lives among maybe probably the best shot or biggest moment, single shot in Marquette basketball history. Doc Rivers hit a big shot that was near midcourt to beat Notre Dame back in the 80s. But in recent history, I would say, you know, since Crean took over in 99-2000, and the program really started to turn around, and then on into the Big East / Buzz Williams era, Vander Blue's probably the biggest shot in the last 15 years, I would say.
If it's not, it's got to be close. It's hard for me because I was in the building when Novak hit the shot to beat Notre Dame, but it's.
I would put Darius Johnson Odom's 3-pointer to beat Syracuse and send Marquette to the Sweet 16 2 years ago. I would put that one way up there. That's a shot. I definitely remember where I was and reacting to it. That's when three goggles were cool. I still think three goggles are a little cool. I just wish they were as cool as they were 2 years ago.
Well, just like the Harlem Shake, things go out of style fast.
They do. I miss three goggles a little bit. But
I do too. I just, and you know what? I actually think that the, The one that's the biggest for me is Diener's three against Holy Cross, because that really, without that, none of the rest of 2003 happens. The Final Four doesn't happen. Right. So if you look at it in total, that one just had huge impact. Maybe in the instantaneous nature of it, it wasn't quite as big as DJO's or Vander's shot, but what it enabled down the road, I think, was significant.
And it wasn't a game-winning shot, but I'll throw in one more play that clearly stands out to me in my recent, you know, relatively short history as a Marquette basketball fan, is Wade's dunk on Marquise Estill in the 2003 Elite Eight to send Marquette. It didn't send Marquette to the Final Four, but it was just kind of the exclamation point on a dominant game from Wade, and that was the one play that definitely stands out in my mind from that game, when Wade, of course, had the triple-double and Marquette beat Kentucky to advance to the Final Four. That play stands out to me, but as far as drama and clutch, a word I hate to use now because of the Watch ESPN app commercials have totally ruined the word clutch for me, but that moment sticks out to me up there with DJO's three and now Vanderbilt's.
Well, and the thing about Vander's shot there is, given all the first of all, that he nearly made, or it was essentially the same shot the play before. So it's not like St. John's didn't know it was coming. And given all the momentum shift that Marquette gave up a 9-point lead to let St. John's tie it, and then went down two to St. John's and turned the ball over on their next possession, where St. John's could have gone up by two possessions and still somehow got the stop on defense. Vander comes back and ties it up. And then with 7 seconds left, runs a play that scores the bucket and leaves no time on the clock. And wins a conference championship. There's a banner involved, and it's not like a Great Alaskan Shootout banner. It's a conference banner. It's huge.
It's amazing. It was the perfect play to get Obekpe away from the rim. He had 7 blocks in that game, and to me it seemed like he had about 57. Well, it seemed like he turned back so many, but it was the perfect play to get him away from the rim. And Marquette had struggled with out-of-bounds plays or plays out of timeouts, not just all day, but probably all year. I was talking with a few people on Twitter about that, and like, oh, man, hopefully this is the one play that out of a timeout that's going to work, and thankfully it was.
Well, these are the three things Marquette seems to constantly struggle with. Full-court pressure, at least this year. Historically, we seem to be terrible against shot blockers. I don't know how many times I've listened to Homer and Mac talk about how you got to get into the body against shot blockers, and we always seem to get just blocked by shot blockers. It seems insane.
Well, that's what shot blockers do.
Well, I understand that, but like more so than others. Other teams seem to
find ways
to block it, and inbound plays. Those three things just always seem to haunt Marquette, and maybe I'm just too tough on it, but I you know, if we ever face a team that plays full court pressure with a shot blocker that has really awesome inbound plays defense, we may just not play.
Like Louisville, for example?
I didn't want to mention that, but yeah, perhaps Louisville.
Yeah, we'll talk about them in a little bit. But, you know, this past week, speaking of things that Marquette struggles with, playing on the road, granted, they got 2 wins this week, but the 2 wins were ugly, as we've kind of dissected the St. John's game a little bit. You know, Marquette went on a 22-2 run. It looks like they were going to pull away. Then St. John's goes on a 14-3 run to get right back in it. And then Marquette is up 10 with 3.5 to play. And, you know, winning just changes everything. Years from now, people probably won't remember that Marquette blew a 10-point lead with just over 3 minutes to play and had to squeak it out in overtime. But if Vander's shot hadn't have gone down and Marquette went on to lose in double overtime, or if St. John's had hit a shot at the end of regulation, you know, we would just be as grumpy as we could possibly be today, breaking down what happened this past week. But, you know, let's not pretend that it was 2 perfectly well-played road wins, because they were both pretty ugly. I know in the end, yeah, they count, and they're still wins, and they're 14-4, and they're conference champs. But there were plenty of reasons to be concerned if the quote-unquote road Marquette or bad Marquette shows up in the Big East tournament or the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree with that, but at the same time, by the same token, they won. It's, you know, it's hard to imagine what this team would be like if we didn't have these little things to complain about. I mean, if you think about it, you know, I don't want to be accused of being prepared for a podcast or anything, but I did some investigation.
Brace yourselves, folks.
Yeah, hold on. It's about to get real. Statsheet.com, record for away games. Marquette is one of six teams in the Big East, and there are 16 teams, for those keeping track at home, that has
15 this year, right? 15 with West Virginia's out.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, you're right. But of the so six out of the 15 teams finished with a 500 record or better on the road, and Marquette is one of them. Marquette finished 4-4 away from the Bradley Center. That's about what you want. I mean, they didn't win pretty, but that's okay. They also required a clutch 3-point from Cadogan at home to eventually go on to beat Georgetown. I mean, it's just one of those things where the ball bounces several ways, and you know, you get travel and it gets exhausting. I mean, I don't know. It's I do think there's an issue with the away games that we just don't play as well. But I don't know how much of that's just overblown.
To be fair, everyone struggles on the road to an extent.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't they? I mean, everyone struggles a little bit. But bottom line, going into the season, you kind of always say, let's win them all at home and break even on the road. So you got 9 home games, 9 road games in an 18-game schedule. And so you hope you go 5-4 on the road, which you said 4-4. I think it's 5 because they would have 9 road games. So road wins would have been at Pitt, at St. John's, at Rutgers, Seton Hall, and South Florida. So
yes, you're right.
That'd be 5. Yeah. 5 road wins.
Oh, that's right. This is an update. This must not be updated for the St. John's win.
Yeah, so St. John's was their 5th.
So we finished above 500.
So regardless, Marquette was better. They broke even or were slightly better on the road, and they won them all at home. And that was the formula to win a conference title this year.
Yeah, see, I get punished for doing research. It's not even right research.
That's when you do research too early. It's okay, but now we've got it corrected.
Right, but I think the point I was trying to drive at with the away records thing I take something different away from this. The St. John's game, Pittsburgh game, Notre Dame game, Marquette was up comfortably at one point, gave up a significant amount of points to let the other teams back in, ultimately won. That's one of these things, which do you take away, the good or the bad? The bad, that they let the team in, that they should have just stomped and closed out and been done with and not had to deal with, or the good that they let them in and instead of completely collapsing, still managed to win the game. I mean, you know, they came from behind against Rutgers. Does that say this team is really gutty and can win in any sort of condition, or does it say that this team is living on a knife's edge and could lose at a moment's notice? The optimist in me says it's the former, but you have a case for the latter.
Sure. I just want to be clear on what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm disappointed in two ugly road wins. I will take the two. I think I even said last week on the podcast, just get me two wins. I don't care if they're both by 1 point. I just want to get to 14-4 and see if that's enough for a conference title. And it was. I'm not disappointed in the two wins. All I'm saying is, let's not be naive and say they dominated two great road wins and they are so ready to go to the Final Four. Because they really were. We saw, you know, the defense really was poor late in the game against St. John's. Being down 10 at Rutgers was, I mean, you hate to see them be down 10 in the first round tournament game to a fired up 13 seed that's really ready to pull off an upset. I'm very happy with the two wins, and I will absolutely take the two wins, and I am proud that this team was able to raise a conference championship banner. All I'm saying was it wasn't perfect, and really it is kind of in a nutshell, a microcosm of the season. Marquette wasn't spectacular, wasn't amazing, but it was good enough. That's all you can ask of them. They were just good enough. They were just good enough to beat St. John's, they were just good enough to beat Rutgers, and they were just good enough to be the Big East co-champions.
You know what? Just good enough to win a national championship still gets the trophy and a whole lot of running down Wisconsin Avenue.
Absolutely. The rules of basketball clearly state you only have to win by one.
Oh, well, that was a good amendment. Thank you, John Naismith.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Let's move on. I want to talk about some comments from Buzz Williams after the win. As we kind of talk about how this team was just good enough and maybe not spectacular and looked at as one of the best teams in the country, there were some comments by Buzz Williams after the game. And I don't know exactly what he heard or what was said to him or, what maybe someone on his staff told him after the game. but he seemed to be a little disappointed with the coverage of the team. I'm going to read some quotes here, which I'm just going to pull from the good folks at Paint Touches, who, of course, do a great job covering Marquette basketball, really as good as anyone. Again, quoting Buzz Williams here on Paint Touches. I don't think ESPN even knew that we were playing for a share. It was Georgetown in Louisville. He goes on to say, I've got to mature at 4 years old because I just don't handle that very well. At some point in time, somebody has to do enough research to see that over the last 2 years, we've won as many games as any teams in the league. Nobody says that. Nobody. Not student journalists, not journalists that don't work anymore, not print journalists, not TV journalists. We have 13 kids on our team that have moms too, and at some point you have to be respectful of the work they have done. End quote from Buzz Williams. Again, thanks Paint Touches on that one. Thoughts on that, Phil? The thing that jumps out to me about that, those quotes from Buzz, first of all, yes, I think he's technically right on that, because watching the game, especially, you know, I really have never really minded Mike Patrick in the past. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention enough, but it did bug me a little bit that when he said, like, early on in the game, maybe Marquette just doesn't care about this game because they've got the double bye wrapped up. Maybe they don't have much to play for. He said something to that effect, and I'm like, well, they have a conference title to play for. They have that to play for. And even after Vanderblue hit the shot, Patrick was, you know, on his call, he yelled, you don't think Marquette cares about this game? I'm like, yes, I think Marquette cares very much about this game and winning a conference title. So I think Buzz has a point in that respect, but on the same time, he's a guy who likes to downplay his team. He said several times back in November, we're not very good. And for him to say this now is to say, well, his team's been slighted all year. Well, he kind of likes to play the underdog role, doesn't he?
Well, I think Buzz is really good at playing dumb and being not dumb, as dumb as that statement just sounded. But he likes to kind of play the Southern boy that doesn't really know what's going on. When yep.
He loves to say, oh, I'm just a dumb hick from Texas.
Right.
He loves to play that persona.
And he's just sneaky smart, because what he's doing, I mean, it, to a certain extent, one, I think he's almost acknowledged that he likes to motivate his players through the press. So when he comes out and says, we're just not very good, the players hear that. He will call his own players out on, you know, in his post-game radio show and talk about them. In this case, I think this is kind of, you know, he was saying we weren't very good motivating the players for the future. In this case, it's almost a way of two things. One, motivating, you know, thanking his players or saying, listen, you guys are really good. No one's acknowledging it. Yes, I'm fighting for you out here. And yes, you should know you're really good. And two, it's putting things out there in the committee's head. Saying, hey, listen, we're undervalued, we're better than we were. Because if you look at it, we went six out of seven wins in our last seven games in the Big East, and then yeah, only add on to that in the Big East tournament. I mean, we played really well, and I would make the argument we are undervalued at this point. Though the way it breaks down, you very well may see Marquette as a top 10 team in the polls this week, which, given a conference championship and top 10 at the end of the season, who is this team, and when is Dwayne Wade coming back to play for him if we're getting this kind of coverage? It's unanticipated, and I think Buzz is just doing some politicking that, and I think he's got a legitimate beef there. I just don't think he's doing it solely because he's upset. I think he's got ulterior motives at play.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you may have a right angle there, saying maybe he's just trying to make sure his team doesn't get shafted in the seeding. And his point about how good Marquette has been since the Big East expanded, you know, since they joined the Big East in the 05-06 season, Marquette has had at least 9 wins every year. There was only one season when they didn't get to 10. That was a couple years ago, in the 2010-2011 season, when they went 9-9. Other than that, they've had at least 10 wins every year. 14 wins in the conference each of the last 2 years. They've had at least 20 wins overall as a Big East team. Only, I believe, Louisville and Pittsburgh has done that. I think Anonymous Eagle tweeted that out a couple weeks ago when they got to 20 wins. And they are the only team since the Big East expanded to make the NCAA tournament every year since the Big East.
So could you argue that Marquette, based on all that statistics, is the most consistent basketball team
right,
in the Big East?
I think that's fair to say. I think the way you phrased it is correct. Most consistent. You probably wouldn't say the best, because there have been teams who have gone to Final Fours and won national championships in that time. but Marquette has been the most consistent. They've been right there. They've been a tournament team every year since 2006. And the last 2 years, they've been right in the conference championship chase. Finished second last year to a very good Syracuse team, and tied for first this year.
Yeah. It's just it's almost one of these that they've been consistent and slowly getting better and better each year. And if you look at it, that it's almost subtly. So you're not getting used to it. The expectations are slowly rising. I mean, the fact that this team was picked to be seventh, I feel like. Every time Marquette outperforms their expectations, which at some point the expectations have to come back to normal where they just meet the expectations, right? I mean, I feel like this is the third or fourth year in a row we've finished three, four, or five places above where they anticipated we would.
Either that or the expectations just rise and stay risen, which I guess was what I am hoping for.
Sure.
I think it's – and I guess we'll see how people start picking this team once they begin the new league – starting next year, but I think it's great that this team has overachieved to the extent that it has, and hopefully it keeps rolling because Marquette should be pretty good next year as well, but that's another topic for another day. Looking ahead to the Big East tournament, of course, Marquette being co-champs, can't say that enough, the co-conference champion Marquette Golden Eagles will be the 3 seed in the Big East tournament, which means they will get either Notre Dame, who is the 6 seed, or Rutgers or DePaul if one of them pulls off an upset in the previous game. I think as far as the draw goes for the Big East tournament, Phil, I am good with starting off with potentially Notre Dame on a neutral court.
Yeah, I agree. I would play the game of who would I rather switch with. If I switch with Louisville, we end up playing either St. John's or Villanova, one of which almost beat us and would be on their home court, and Villanova, who definitely beat us and definitely needs to win to really improve their bubble stance. So I wouldn't want to switch there. If we switch with Pittsburgh, we get Syracuse, who's fading, but you know is still a wounded animal and could do some damage. And if we switch with Georgetown, we'd be potentially facing Cincinnati, who with Villanova could be one of the two sleepers in the low end. So I like our draw. I like playing Notre Dame again. I don't like seeing Notre Dame in those uniforms.
Those things are hideous. Yeah, we could potentially see two of those flashy Adidas uniforms if we play Notre Dame and then win that one and then play Louisville in the next round. Those things are just, gosh, they're terrible.
Well, and flashy implies there's something positive about them. Quite frankly, they may be setting back civilization several hundred years. I mean, Notre Dame, they may be wearing them just because they're thinking that Marquette might get nauseous from looking at them the whole game. I want to know who invented them and have that person executed immediately.
Adidas apparently stands for All Day I Design Awful Stuff.
All right, if you came up with that just now, I'm going to quit and just come work.
I know, I honestly came up with that a few days ago, and I used another word instead of stuff, but yeah.
Well, yeah, whoever's working for Adidas was probably previously working for Marquette and came up with gold. So
it's just about that good of an idea, really.
Yeah, so, but uniforms aside, I think Notre Dame's a fair matchup for us in the tournament in terms of a matchup we want. I think we got the draw we want. What would be interesting is if I'm looking at the bracket correctly, we would theoretically face Louisville, assuming the seeding holds, which I'd much rather face them in the finals than the semifinals. But it looks like we would get a Louisville draw, which could be a matchup nightmare for us.
Right. Of course, the draw you would like to win the Big East title would be to start with Rutgers and then get Seton Hall and then get South Florida. That would be the ideal way to get the conference title.
Well,
you're going to have to beat some good teams to win the Big East tournament. And I don't know about you, considering that this is the last year of the Big East tournament as we know it. It's not the last Big East tournament. There will be a tournament next year called the Big East tournament, and I'm very much looking forward to it. But as far as this group of teams together, being together for the last time, I'm very excited about this one. And normally I approach a conference tournament as, maybe I'd like to get a win or two, and then let's look ahead to the NCAAs. I really, really would like to win the Big East tournament this year. I don't know about you, but I would love to see Marquette win the Big East tournament.
Oh, absolutely. I just, and it's tough because obviously the big prize is always – a national championship, but let's be honest, the odds of winning a national championship in any given year are astronomically low. So if there's a deal with the devil to be had, you know, trading off ultimate success, you know, some level of success in the NCAA tournament in exchange for a title in the Big East tournament, I think I'd probably take it. I think, one, it would be really cool to say we did it, be able to celebrate and watch this team really kind of prove the point that, hey, we are a good team. And it's, you know, just kind of walking off, you know, and if we don't win it, I want somebody like Georgetown or one of our Catholic Seven brethren to win the conference title, to just kind of walk off and say, hey, we're taking our ball and we're going home. Forget
Absolutely.
You guys.
It's a catch 20, you know, because ultimately your season is judged by how far you go in the NCAA tournament. So I guess maybe the goal would hopefully to be in the Sweet 16 for the third straight year, or maybe go even farther than that. But, you know, if you were to given the choice, say, a third straight Sweet 16 and have it in there, or win the Big East tournament and be one and done, I don't know. I'd really be tempted to take that Big East tournament, because I don't know how far this team can go. And you don't really hang banners for Sweet 16s. But I guess, ultimately, I probably would lean towards another nice tournament run, because that's probably what you remember the most. But to hang a Big East championship tournament, because you're not going to share that with anyone, and that would be a way of kind of breaking this three-way tie with Georgetown and Louisville for the conference title, man, I would love that. I think it would be so cool to see Marquette win this last Big East tournament. But if there's a trade-off, I guess, yeah, you still want to go farther in the NCAA tournament. I don't know how far this team can realistically go in the big dance. So I guess that remains to be seen in regards to the draw and who they play, where they play and all that.
Well, but that's the ultimate thing about the NCAA tournament, is it's all going to be matchup dependent. I mean, this team has proven that they're susceptible to a certain matchup. Louisville, St. John's was long and athletic. Louisville's long and athletic. Villanova was long and athletic and can pressure. Those are the types of teams we're going to struggle with and struggle with significantly. If we run into one of those teams in the NCAA tournament, it's very likely that we will have issues with them as well. And that could end – I mean, we could face someone like that, a much lower seed that's like that in the opening round and lose. And while it would be very disappointing, obviously, I would at least intellectually, maybe not emotionally, intellectually, I would rationalize and say, okay, well, this is, I understand why it happened. But the Big East tournament, the only team that really, from a matchup standpoint, that we know is really trouble for us is Louisville. So we have a little more control over our destiny. Any of the other teams in the bracket, I would argue we should be favored. Louisville's the only one that we shouldn't be. So we have.
Well, I think we'd be an underdog against Georgetown.
You're right. But I mean, we beat them in our place. They beat us in their place. I mean, one could argue that's about as even as you can. So you go to a neutral court.
Right. And I would just throw in that, you know, the first game against Georgetown in Milwaukee was a total rock fight, which is just, it was just as ugly as you could be. Both teams throwing up bricks all day. It was 49-48 was the final in that one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Georgetown is playing much better basketball right now. Although, you know, I guess Marquette lost that game by 8, but I guess it seemed to me like it was more than that. But I think Georgetown is playing really well, and Georgetown would absolutely be favored on a neutral floor against Marquette. But I would not be surprised if Marquette beat Georgetown, because, like you said, the matchup is a little bit better than it is for Louisville. Louisville, as we said last week, you hesitate to want to play them because they are such a matchup nightmare for Marquette. But you wouldn't you just love to beat Louisville on the way out the Big East door?
They have to be my favorite team that I would like to beat at this point. Mm-hmm. I just, such a rivalry with them, and I can't stand them. And it just, there's nothing to like about them or their coach.
Or their uniforms.
So it's a tough game, but I want it. I want the matchup. I want to beat them. As much as I know losing to them would just be a knife to the stomach.
You referenced Ric Flair earlier, and as Ric Flair would say, to be the man, you've got to beat the man. So if you're going to win the Big East tournament, let's go through Louisville. Let's see if Marquette can get a win against the hated rival. That goes back to the Conference USA days. I would love to beat Louisville. It would kill me to lose to Louisville again. I guess we'll just have to see what happens. Make sure Marquette beats Notre Dame or whoever it plays on Thursday night, and then I guess we'll worry about Louisville and whoever else after that. You know, the seeds never really hold in these conference tournaments. You know, who knows? You know, could see some lower seed really get fired up and run through, whether it's someone like Notre Dame, Villanova, maybe Syracuse finally wakes up after being in free fall for the last 6 weeks. Who knows? It's so hard to predict who's going to be motivated, but I think that's one of the great things about the Big East tournament as opposed to some other conference tournaments. Teams really care and really want to win this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of passion, there's a lot of fanfare, and I think the fans and the players, especially considering this will be the last ride for this group together, I think we're going to see some great games, and I think we might see some really heated games in Madison Square Garden this week.
Well, yeah, and I have no empirical evidence to this statement whatsoever, but it seems like the double bye teams, while obviously they're the highest rank of the four, do seem to struggle a little bit. It seems like if you're a single bye team, that's the ideal setup for an upset, because you kind of get a game under your belt. You've A, got the nerves out of your system, and B, you're loose and you're ready to go. It almost seems like a first half for a double bye team to kind of get caught up and the cobwebs out, and one of the single bye teams can jump on you and get out. So, I mean, obviously that's a danger for Marquette, but it's also something to look for, you know, in terms of the upsets you talked about with the lower seeds coming out. But like I said, there's no evidence I can directly point to. I just feel like
I think actually they showed that stat the other day. I think during the game that the record of the teams in the double bye, it's not that good, but I guess, you know, you kind of skew it because somebody has to lose. It's not like teams with double byes are going to be undefeated because eventually right. They play each other, you know, and move on in the tournament. But,
like I said, there's tons of evidence to prove that the double bye teams have less chance of winning than you would think.
Right. So I guess we'll just see what happens. I hope Marquette can put together a couple wins. You know, what are your hopes, you know, for this week, Phil? Because I just want to see this team put together a good couple of performances on a neutral court, because obviously it's well documented how great Marquette is at home and how much it struggles on the road. The good news is there are no more road games. The bad news is there are no more games in the Bradley Center either. And the only sample size we have for this team on a neutral court is way back in November in Maui. And this is a completely different team than what we saw way back then when they lost at the buzzer to Butler and then beat Mississippi State and USC. I just want to see how this team plays on a neutral floor and, you know, just have a clean game. You know, I'd love to see them, you know, beat ideally Notre Dame in that first game and then just have just a really good game against Louisville. Maybe they win, maybe they don't. But what are you kind of hoping for beyond obviously winning the thing this week?
Well, obviously I want to win the thing. I want, personally, I want two wins because I think two wins guarantees us a three seed in the tournament. I think right now we're probably sitting at a four seed. I could see them, especially with a first round loss, slipping to a five seed, and the tendency I feel like the committee has to undervalue us by a seed or two. So I think worst case scenario we're looking at a five seed. So really, out of the conference term, we have to get that first win against Notre Dame just to guarantee a four seed or better, which I believe are four seeds and better are considered protected pods or protected seeds for location wise. So we really need the four seed to put us in someplace decent. And if we can get two wins, especially if one of those wins comes against Louisville on a neutral court, I think we get a three seed with an outside shot at a two seed if we win the whole thing. I mean, you could even make the argument we could go to a one seed, but there'd have to be a lot of things that happen in terms of teams that are ahead of us losing early and us running the table. But
I really don't do bracketology. I don't do bracketology myself. I just basically read what everyone else writes, whether it's Lunardi or Andy Glockner or a guy we actually went to school with, David Kamichik. If you ever followed David on Twitter, he's actually really good. He's a college basketball junkie. He does his own bracketology, which is in past years proven to be really accurate. But David, particularly, he has Marquette as a 3 seed entering this weekend. He did that, so before the St. John's game and everything else that happened this past weekend. Joe Lunardi had Marquette as a 4 seed. So, you know, going off what you said, I think Marquette is solidly, based on what everyone else is writing and predicting, solidly on that 4 line. A disastrous performance at the start of the Big East, I would think, if it was against, say, Rutgers especially, maybe they slip to a 5. I can't see them slipping any farther than that. But if they get that first win against Notre Dame, I think they'll be solidly around a 4. And if they beat Louisville, I think they could be comfortably around the 3 line. If they win the whole thing, the Big East tournament, I think a 2 seed might be in the discussion. I think that still might be reaching just a little high for Marquette, but if those wins come over Louisville and Georgetown, then I think maybe a discussion could be had, because I think sometimes teams that win their conference tournament maybe tend to get a little overrated, a little bit boosted late in the year, because you remember a few years ago that Syracuse team with Jerry McNamara, that was the first team to win 5 games in 5 days in the Big East tournament. They went from bubble team to 5 seed in a week.
They got boosted big time.
So, you know, maybe if Marquette won the whole thing with wins over Louisville and Georgetown, maybe a 2 seed's in the discussion. But I'm really not thinking that way, because I think that's being really, really optimistic. But
if you look at it statistically, if we won the whole tournament, that would mean we'd won our last nine out of the last 10, which the committee says the last 10 games are the most important. Sure. Our RPI right now is 12. So theoretically, that would move us into a top 8, top 6 RPI. And right now, I'm betting some of the polls are going to come out next tomorrow and Tuesday that are going to have us in a top 10 position, just because of the teams that lost in front of us and the fact that we won. I mean, I think you're right. I'm being a little unrealistic, but I certainly think a 2 seed is very much within our grasp, with a 1 not ruled out. I think I'm just maybe a little more optimistic.
I would say, honestly, I think a 1 is out. I think unless, you know, Duke, Indiana, Gonzaga, Kansas, you know, Florida, they all have really poor showings in their respective conference tournaments. But, like I said, that remains to be seen. I think a 2 is as high as Marquette could possibly get, in my opinion. Again, I'm not a bracketologist. I don't do this like some of the other guys do. But I think that's what we could expect if we got a Big East Conference tournament win. Championship, I should say. 2 wins, comfortably a 3. 1 win, comfortably a 4, and we'll just see what happens after that. But as you well know, Phil, ultimately the seed does not matter nearly as much as what the draw is. And with Marquette's well-documented road struggles, I think I would be a little more concerned for Marquette if it was placed far from home, like, say, Salt Lake City or San Jose. Those are the two most western sites in the first round, or I guess it's called the second and third round now, of the NCAA tournament. Those would be the sites where if Marquette was placed there, I would be a little concerned, particularly if it got matched up with a West Coast team in those games.
It would be shades of having to go to Salt Lake City and play Utah State again.
Right, exactly. You know, that was was that in Boise, or was that, I forget where it was.
It might have been Boise,
but whatever it was, it was a lot closer, right?
And then it was Washington, and we were the higher seed.
Right. Yeah. Washington. That was also a West Coast game. So that's partly what, you know, maybe I'm kind of concerned about. When you look at the potential destinations for Marquette, I think there are a couple places that are kind of blocked out for Marquette, considering the teams that are likely to be placed there. And what I mean by that is Auburn Hills is almost certainly going to get protected seeds of Michigan State and Michigan, meaning Michigan is, say, a 2 or a 3, and Michigan State as a 2 or a 3, meaning Marquette would not be a 7 or 6 seed paired up with those teams. So Marquette's not going to those, is definitely not going to Auburn Hills, I would say. Dayton is maybe a possibility for Marquette. I guess that's as far as the place, as far as quote-unquote closest to home, that Marquette could possibly go. I think that wouldn't be a bad place. Lexington is another destination, and since Kentucky is not a high, well, I guess Kentucky couldn't go there anyway because you can't play on your home floor. But Lexington is maybe a place that wouldn't be too far and too bad for Marquette to travel. Kansas City, I think, is blocked out for Marquette because Kansas is going to be a protected seed, and Kansas State is probably also going to be a protected seed. Maybe if Kansas State has a poor showing in the Big 12, maybe they slip out of the protected 4 range, and maybe Marquette could go to Kansas City, which selfishly I would love because that's my hometown. I would just drive up and stay with the Rents for a weekend, and that would be just fantastic.
I might be staying with your parents too, just as an FYI.
Yeah, we have a guest. They have a guest room there. You know, come on down. There's not room for everybody who listens to the podcast. Sorry, but love to meet you guys down in Kansas City if that's what happens. But I think the destinations I'm seeing, based on the projections from guys like David Kamichik and Joe Lunardi and Andy Glockner, most of them tend to have Marquette in Austin or send them out west to Salt Lake City.
I'd rather go with Dayton, even though Dayton has earned its reputation. I would much rather go to Dayton than either of those locations, but I'd also rather go to Austin than go West Coast. I don't know.
Cue jokes about Buzz Williams coaching in Austin.
Oh boy, let's not make this awkward now, Joe. Yeah. Maybe it's just nightmares of previous experiences out west, but nothing about that appeals to me. I want to stay east of the Mississippi if we can. Well, I guess
ideally
Texas is west of the Mississippi.
But I know you want to stay in the central time zone, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't have to take a geography class.
Well, I'm a comm major, so I'm not judging.
Oh, that's true. But yeah, I want to stay close to home, central time zone. Something. The only thing that's not would be nice about Austin is theoretically I don't think there are any big teams that would call that area home that we could potentially run up against.
Right. I mean, no, there's not like a very good. I don't know if the state of Texas is even going to have a team in the tournament. Now that I think about it, off the top of my head, because Texas isn't very good. Obviously, A&M isn't very good. Tech isn't very good.
Baylor just upset Kansas, didn't they?
Baylor might be the one team that could sneak in, but I don't think they would be placed in. I don't think they'd be placed in Austin. So, yeah, that Austin could be like the one true, like totally neutral site, as just a bunch of teams coming from all over the place and descending on Texas. So, Austin probably wouldn't be a terrible place for Marquette. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter where they are so much as who meets Marquette there. As we've talked about before, you worry about a team that's going to bring in a lot of quick guards that pressure and shoot the three very well, because that's the type of team that I think obviously has given Marquette trouble in the past and would give them a lot of trouble in a first and second round NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, I agree. Location isn't going to matter nearly as much as matchup. And, you know, I'm not saying that they have the talent to win the national championship in a vacuum, but given the right breaks, the right draws, I absolutely think they could go that far. In a scientific type experiment, but you know,
George Mason, Butler, VCU, right. These teams have all gone to Final Fours in recent years because they just got great matchups and got a little bit underrated by the teams that played them on the way to the Final Four, and they got it done. Will this Marquette team make a run like that? It's absolutely impossible to tell right now until you see who they get paired with.
And I guess that's something we'll have to talk about next week. Either a case of we got a real shot at a Sweet 16. Or we're a one and done. I mean, right. It's really going to be that black and white, I think, when we see the draw.
Yeah, what I think I'm going to hate is if like Marquette gets, say, put in Kansas City as a 5 seed with a 4 seed Kansas State, because I would hate to have to play Kansas State in front of a purple crowd in Kansas City. That would be a concern for me. Or you know, I don't think there's a chance they get matched up with VCU, but I think that's with that Havoc defense. I think that is. That sounds like a nightmare matchup. Like, if say, a 3-6 game, though, if Marquette is a 3 and VCU is a 6, I would very much fear that 3-6 game for Marquette.
Oh, and you know VCU would have the neutral crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the other thing is then, you know, does the neutral crowd go behind the team that Marquette plays, and then it almost acts as an away game, and maybe we see the quote-unquote bad Marquette. You know, it's all going to depend on draws. Who knows? We got a whole conference tournament to play that we
exactly.
Can,
you know, we could break down possibilities with 60 other teams, but it's just really not going to matter. And that's something we'll talk about in next week's podcast when we are talking about Marquette in the NCAA tournament yet again. I guess that'll be what, 7 years in a row, 8 years in a row.
Yeah, something like that. And considering after the Green Bay loss, people were talking about how we would be lucky to be a successful NIT team. The fact that we're arguing top 4 seeding for Marquette is in of itself a pretty fantastic success, not to mention, oh, by the way, hang the banner, conference champs.
Conference champs. Truly remarkable year, even if, worst case scenario, there are only 2 games left in this Marquette basketball season, I would still salute this team for what it did, overachieving and getting a Big East